Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
Hi, I'm Dr. Mary Claire Haver, a board-certified OBGYN and menopause specialist. My new podcast, Unpaused, is the place for bold, unfiltered conversations about what it really takes for women to thrive in the second half of life. Every week, I sit down with medical experts, cultural icons, and powerhouse women to talk about what really matters: your health, your power, and your future. We're covering hormones, identity, finances, relationships, and so much more. New episodes drop every Tuesday. Listen to and follow Unpaused with me, Dr. Mary Claire Haver, available now wherever you get your podcasts.
Welcome back, guys. DGS 104.1 FM KMOX. Happy Tuesday to you. Weather is just great. Coming up this weekend on Saturday, the 6th. Why does that date stand out so much? Oh, that's right. It's my birthday.
Oh!
Everything cool is happening on my birthday.
What do you know?
There is going to be a walk for lupus, and we have Christy here, who's the regional director of Heartland Lupus Foundation of America. Nakia Montgomery is a regional ambassador, lupus warrior. So I'm assuming you have lupus,
yes,
and you've
sir.
Been dealing with this. Mm-hmm. Nice to meet both of you. Thanks for being here.
Thanks for having us.
So I'm just going to start it out with 101. I think I have an idea, but I couldn't speak intelligently about it for 60 seconds. So tell us about lupus. What is it?
So yeah, lupus is an autoimmune disease. It's basically where your cells are fighting one another as opposed to fighting off anything that might come into your body. It affects people very differently. It affects all parts of your body. Hmm. So not one lupus patient does not look like another lupus patient. And so it can affect all different parts and can oftentimes lead to the need for kidney transplants, things of that nature. And so it can be very debilitating and devastating for those living with it.
Is it really difficult to diagnose?
It is. We say on average it takes about 6 years for a diagnosis of lupus. Yes.
Wow.
Typically because it presents... it can present in a way that a typical doctor or even an ER doctor may or may not have experienced. They may not have done a rheumatology round, so they may not have the necessary education of lupus, and so that's why it can take so long. So they're just saying like, oh, you're having heart problems, but cardiologists aren't finding anything, or whatever the case may be. And so so it can take a really long time.
So that must be a real double-edged sword, that by the time you are diagnosed, you're happy that you're diagnosed, but you're not happy that it's been this long. You're not happy with what the diagnosis is.
Right.
So tell me about your story.
Yeah, thank you for the question. You know, I'm going to say fortunate because my diagnosis didn't take as long. I probably took about 2 years to actually be diagnosed. And that sounds like a long time, but there's some that take 30 years, mm-hmm. their entire lives. They spend it in pain. I was going into my senior year in high school, so not to tell on myself age wise, but mm-hmm. that's how long I've been dealing mm-hmm. with it. And it showed up as body aches. I'd gone to Six Flags and felt like, okay, well, I just jolted around. I was on a roller coaster. And so that's what it is. And so you just kind of like tell yourself that it's these other things, but it went on for several weeks for me. Several weeks turned into several months. And then finally, after about a year and a half, I get the call that says, well, we finally figured it out. You have lupus. By the time I was diagnosed, however, I was going into renal failure. I was immediately taken to an emergency room. And then from that point on, it really changed the trajectory of my life. I was pumped up on really high dose steroids because lupus has just now had medications that have specifically been developed for lupus specifically. And so at the time, I was treated with steroids and chemotherapy, all these different toxic medications, just to get my flare under control, which that's when a person that has lupus, has active lupus, and is starting to take over their body or attack their organs. That's what a flare is.
Okay. Mm-hmm. Is it just idiosyncratic? You don't know who's going to develop it or why?
So with lupus, this is Pretty much that. We don't have science that says it is specifically genetic. However, there are some genetic markers where a mom and daughter can have it, son and daughter, father and daughter can have it. So that has not been completely tested. However, you know, Black and Hispanic women, we are 2 to 3 times more likely to have the disease. Women of childbearing age were more likely to start to show symptoms during those years. But it does not have an age and it does not have a gender. You know, men as well can also be diagnosed with lupus, which is something that we're really trying to talk about a lot more, because I think that we're not really giving the men in the community who have this the voice that they need mm-hmm. and give that support. So we're definitely trying to elevate that as well.
How is it now that you have medication specifically for it? Is it much better?
I think that we're doing a better job of diagnosing it. You know, platforms like this, so thank you so much for having us, are really great for getting awareness out there. Lupus looks like so many different types of autoimmune diseases because it has so many similar symptoms, that the more we're aware and having these types of conversations, people can actually start to ask those questions, start to advocate for themselves and with their physicians to say, you know, I've got these symptoms, you're telling me it's this, but I'm really not sure, let's press towards, you know, let's look into this lupus thing. We currently have Benlysta, and we are hoping to have other medications that would come through and be approved for the FDA. But again, this all comes down to funding. Okay. This is why we're having the Walk to End Lupus. This is why, you know, government funding is so important. So some of the programs that are getting cut, that impacts us and that impacts our ability to get more research for a cure for this disease.
What is that like? You're the first person I've met who falls into this category, that when the administration did all this cutting and wow, everyone's grumbling or everyone's super happy, but when it affects you, mm-hmm. like what was that like? Seeing the news and just and knowing like this could affect my life.
Yeah, very frustrating. Very frustrating and concerning. And for me, it's that idea of this unknowing, right? It's already limited access to getting the research for the cure and getting the funds to help with that. But the idea that now we don't really have a reason as to why all of the funding was cut, and yet it's just gone. For me, I got into action. Lupus does something that's called an advocacy summit. And so I went for the first time this year in April to DC to share my voice and to share my story. With our state officials right there at Capitol Hill. And so for me, I got into, people need to know. People need to hear my story. It's very different when you look somebody in their face and they can see that, well, you know, she looks fine, but now I'm telling you, lupus has taken part of my vision. Lupus has scarred my skin with various cellulitis and vasculitis. You wouldn't know looking at me, but I've had a hip replacement, and that was only in my early 20s. You know what I'm saying? I had to learn how to walk again because of lupus. I mentioned my renal failure. These are all things that looking at me, you wouldn't know it. But when you sit in front of someone and you explain to them that what you see is not, you can't judge the book by its cover, right? Mm-hmm. And so advocating is something that was something that turned on for me. And so I've been continuing to try to share my voice, mm-hmm. get other people aware, and let them know how important it is to support so many of us that are fighting this disease. There's 5 million worldwide that are diagnosed with lupus. There's 1.5 million Americans that have this disease.
So, Christy, tell us more about Heartland Lupus Foundation. Once you guys get the money from events like this, what do you do?
Well, we do a number of things. Definitely research, as Nakia has mentioned. It's very, very critical. We're doing a lot of research across the country on trying to get more medications. As Nakia said, there's only a few medications right now that are actually treating lupus as a whole. So typically, if you've had lupus for a number of years, you have been on things like steroids and things like chemotherapy that have really horrible side effects. So then your drug arsenal becomes drugs just treating symptoms of what the drugs are causing, and you're not really getting a drug to actually deal with lupus itself. So that's really exciting, and there's a lot of research out there right now. Additionally, we do a lot of programming our region covers all of Kansas, all of Missouri, and Southern and Central Illinois. So we do a lot of free educational programs. We have support groups. Nakia is actually our St. Louis support group leader as well. And so we're able to bring people together. And that funds all of that. We believe that education should be free, and you should have access to those things, and it should be free. And so money from the walk allows us to be able to do that and be able to provide people with the resources that they need in order to live their best life.
So let's talk about the walk. First of all, the weather's going to be perfect.
It's going to be so great.
75, 74 and sunny. That's great.
Yes. We could not ask for better, for better yeah. weather.
So yes. What are the particulars? Where is it? What is it?
Sure. It's at Creve Coeur Park. It's this Saturday, as you mentioned. Registration will start at 9. The walk will start about 10. There are 1 mile options. You can also go all the way around the lake, which I think is a little over 3 miles, if I remember correctly. But it's a really fun day. There's a kids area. We have a DJ that's going to be playing some good music. We've got all sorts of fun activities. We have a fireman, fire truck there, and some food trucks. And it's just a great time to come together and be a part of the community.
That's great. Well, we wish you luck.
Thank you so much.
Hope you raise a lot of money. Hope you get a lot
of
people.
We do too.
Thank you so much.
Best to you.
Thank you. Appreciate that.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
I'm Dr. Mary Claire Haver, and my new podcast, Unpaused, is the place for bold, unfiltered conversations about what it takes for women to thrive in the second half of life. Listen to and follow Unpaused, available now wherever you get your podcasts.
KMOX 219. How well acquainted are you guys? I know I'm from a different generation. Walking Tall, Buford Pusser was a huge deal in my childhood.
Oh, yeah.
The guy with the big stick, and he beat everyone to death, and he was a sheriff, and he took on the mob and all that. Mm-hmm. You know the story, at least.
Was it a movie?
Yes.
Mm-hmm. With the Rock?
Joe Don Baker.
Well,
and The Rock.
Later on, The Rock. Yeah, but that was a different one. That was a different one, yeah.
So he and his wife, it's huge in the movie, he and his wife were ambushed, and she was shot and killed, and he was shot in the face, and it was poor Buford Pusser, and now he's lost his wife. Now there's evidence that he killed her. And so the prosecuting attorneys and the police down there have come out and said, if he were alive today, he would be indicted. That he just told a giant lie. This just goes to show you how different things can be.
I know.
That in the 70s, down in the South, with a big, larger-than-life guy like that, he said, boys, here's what's happened. And they said, good enough for us. And every bit of forensic evidence goes against it and shows that he shot her.
And that's such a if you've seen those movies, that's such a defining
moment,
part of the story. Such a defining part of the story of Buford Pusser is his wife was killed in retaliation for him trying to bring the law.
Yep. Looks like he did it himself.
And he just did it himself. And then, like, I mean, you know, these guys that he was going after weren't exactly innocent, but they were innocent of that.
Yeah.
I mean, imagine being that person and it's like, I know what really happened, but I'm just going to...
Yeah.
Hey, they opened the door. I'm going to walk through it.
Yeah.
Okay.
Well, like in the 40s, who couldn't kill somebody? Right? I mean, like...
Small town.
Did you do it?
No cameras. Okay.
Nothing more here.
Yeah. If you
nothing
if
to see.
They didn't see you do it.
Yeah.
Even if they had a witness, you could just be like, oh, you're going to believe him? Come on now.
So I had to look up this Buford Pusser that you keep mentioning. He died at the age of 36.
Wow, did he?
Yeah, just the Wikipedia photo, this guy looks much older than that.
Yeah. Yeah.
I mean, I know it was different times.
Lived a hard life.
But yes, absolutely.
Beat a lot of people with his big stick.
Yeah. So.
He did beat a lot of, that was kind of his thing.
Yeah.
Beat up and getting beat up.
Yes.
And killing his wife.
There you go.
I guess.
Razor's Edge?
Yeah, I wanted to talk to you guys about this article I saw about the U.S. Open. Here's the headline of the article. Coco Gauff storms off after Naomi Osaka upset at U.S. Open after besties vibes. Where do you think that article is from? Any guesses?
TMZ?
CNN, if I had to guess.
No, I bet it's going to be a legit one, and we're going to be like, why are they talking like children?
SportsIllustrated.com.
Oh, you guys should just delete that.
Really?
It's an aggregator now.
Yeah, it's like a content farm. Yeah, now. They stripped Sports Illustrated down to the
it's nothing.
Skeleton.
It's
terrible.
This article is so bad.
Yep.
It's just about the fact that Coco Gauff did get beat by Naomi Osaka yesterday. She was on court for 40 more seconds and then walked away because she's extremely upset. she's not going to win the U.S. Open. She had a lot of pressure on her to get that done. You know, their backstory is that Coco, like, grew up looking up to Naomi Osaka. They had this whole thing in 2019 where Naomi Osaka did beat her at the U.S. Open, but then she very nicely had Coco come do, like, the winning interview with her, and it was a wonderful moment. It is a different situation this time. Everyone's grown up now. Coco was 15 when that happened.
How old is she now?
She's 21 or 22. I just thought it was kind of ridiculous to, first of all, they're not going to write, or maybe they do on SportsIllustrated.com wheels, but it felt like a very gendered, like, besties vibes.
Yeah.
Like, I don't think that really happens that much with male sports.
I don't know what they're doing now, but like 2 years ago, they got caught passing off AI stories as being written by humans.
Mm-hmm.
So I don't know which way they went on that, whether they committed to humans writing them or they just went, we're going to have AI write stuff and we're not even going to worry about it.
Yeah, this seems almost like AI.
Yeah.
It said it was written by a gentleman named Matthew Graham. They're claiming he has over 20 years of media experience and he oversees the whole website. So, I mean, maybe he used his media experience to open up ChatGPT. I don't know. It was just such a bad article. And the headline was so, like, condescending and stupid, like, besties vibes. And then the article itself is like, it's all kumbaya until Coco gets beaten. It's like, well, yeah, what is she supposed to do? Be like, I'm so happy for, yay! Like, she just got beaten. She doesn't want to talk about it. She wants to get off the court. It's not the end of the world.
Can we dovetail this into the hat stealer?
Did you guys see that?
Yeah.
Rach, did you see that at the U.S.
Polish
Open?
Polish CEO or something?
Yeah, this guy who's described as like a Polish millionaire just flat out snatched a hat from a kid.
Out of his hand.
I mean, the kid was standing there getting an autograph, and the player, I forget who the player was, but he's also Polish, and he's like signing, but then he's like reaching up to give the kid his hat. And this guy standing next to him, grown-ass man, got to be, what would you say, Rach? She's 45-ish?
At least,
maybe my age. Just snatches that, like, nope, that's mine. And the kid's looking at him like, what are you doing? And the player didn't notice it.
Yeah.
Because he's signing autographs and just moving on down the line. The player went off later, and because people told him what happened, and he gave the kid another hat and got to meet him. So, in the end, the kid still gets the experience. But this guy, now this guy is not only defending what he did, this guy has flat out come out and said, hey, it's a tough world. You got to move fast. And it's a lesson it's best learned when you're young.
Hey, don't get stolen from. That's a lesson you need to learn.
And hustle up, kid.
And on top of that, he actually threatened everybody who's giving him a hard time. So this is what he said. He said, yes, I took it. Yes, I did it quickly. But I've always said life is first come, first served. And then later on, he goes on to say, regarding online hate, I remind you that insulting a public figure is subject to legal liability. All offensive comments, slander, and insinuation will be analyzed for the possibility of taking the matter to court. I'm guessing he means in Poland, because what we say here, you got nothing on us, brother. When you're tweeting here or whatever,
America,
like, we're allowed to insult you. We're allowed to call you all kinds of names because we're allowed to do those things.
We
so good
have fought
luck
many wars
me.
To call you an a-hole.
Yeah, I mean, like, but I mean, so not only do you have the nerve to do this, to just steal a hat from a kid, but then you got to come out and say, like, yep, and you know what? I did the right thing, and he learned a valuable lesson. Yeah, what he learned is you're a jerk.
Well, someone in HR got to him because yesterday he did release an apology.
Oh.
I almost wish he hadn't. It's so bad. I take full responsibility for my extremely poor judgment and hurtful actions. It was never my intent to steal away a prized memento from the young fan. Yes,
why did
you steal his hat?
Of course
it
was.
It was never my intention to steal while I was stealing. I became caught up in the heat of the moment and the joy of the victory. And I believed the hat was being handed to me to give to my son.
Oh, he didn't believe that because he snatched it out of there he was stealing.
Don't you think, as hard as it might be, that you just, because most of us wouldn't do this. But if you do, you just go, this is one of my worst moments. And I apologize. And
just say
anything
I
can do
up.
To make it better.
But is it one of your, I mean, you know, you're at the U.S. Open. There's cameras everywhere.
Sure.
That's not your worst moment. That's not even close to being your worst moment. That's just the worst thing they got you doing on film that day.
That day. You're right.
Yeah, the wife was also on social media basically telling people they shouldn't be able to use the internet because they don't know how the tool works because they're being mean.
Oh.
And then she said, the kid simply got a pro bono life lesson. Let him be happy about that.
What, like, man,
if somebody stole something
kid feel
from
joy.
I mean, think about it. This is what irritates me, is these two entitled jerks, this husband and wife, the last name is Sarek, I think is how you pronounce it. If somebody took something from them, they'll be the first one screaming from the rooftop about how they were wronged,
no doubt.
Is, you can tell how they're threatening legal action because people are yelling at them online. You're an entitled, oh boy, I almost swore.
Get them.
You are that nervy, so you're so entitled that you do it, but then you cry foul the minute anybody says mean words to you?
KMOX 235. Happy Tuesday. Going to be a gorgeous week. I think tomorrow gets up to like 87. No big whoop.
We
can take 87.
That.
Yeah, it's fine.
It's easy.
We're going to do DJ's Happy Hour.
Oh, yes.
Mm-hmm. All right. Anyone?
So I woke up this morning and I thought it was like 6 in the morning, way earlier than I normally wake up. I'm still sleeping. And I thought, I just thought of the perfect DGS Happy Hour topic. I got on my phone. I wrote it down in my notes app where I write stuff down so that I definitely wouldn't forget.
Very familiar.
And then I went back to sleep, and I consulted it this morning, and I remembered what my great DGS Happy Hour topic is. What time do all of you eat dinner?
That one woke you up, huh?
I like shot out of, like, straight up in bed, like, I need to write this down. And then I looked at it later. I was like, you know what? I'll bring it up. I am curious.
I would say between 6 p.m. and 6:30.
Because I think that's hurting my... I didn't used
Your
to be...
Dumb.
Well, no, I didn't used to be a snacker. And I'm becoming a little more of a snacker these days.
Mm-hmm.
And I think it's because, you know, the way when the show was on later, I used to not eat dinner sometimes until like 8 or 8:30 at night.
So you wouldn't eat a snack.
So I just wouldn't be hungry when it got to be, you know, 9:30, 10, 10:30. Yeah. And now that I'm eating dinner, like, right when I get home at, like, 6 o'clock.
DoorDash has made a lot of people fat. And here's my theory. Here's how it makes me fat. Same thing. Is if I eat dinner too early at, like, 9 p.m., I start thinking, you know,
wish I had a sweet treat.
Or I need to get a couple of tacos. Now, if DoorDash didn't exist, my lazy ass isn't getting in the car. And I don't have it at my house.
Mm-hmm.
But DoorDash for like $12 will bring you a few tacos.
Yeah. And that was always part of my secret, was that I just didn't keep like snacks.
Oh, are you DoorDashing, by the way? Didn't you get back in the game?
You know, we haven't gone through with it yet. There's some hoops that you got to jump through when you're getting started.
Background check. You gotta get the toilet paper.
Photos
ready.
On the pot, yeah.
Yeah, photos on the pot. And then, of course, you know, there's the whole, like, you know, like, band dodging thing that I'm doing where I'm trying to avoid getting caught by that. So we haven't gone through with it
Makes
yet.
Makes everyone who uses DoorDash feel better out there knowing that.
Hey, I'm far from the only one. If I'm the one that you...
That's the point.
Facts.
So it's like, and also we kind of wanted to wait until the weather got a little more like this, like nicer. Because when it's nice out, it is downright wonderful to do it. Because you're just driving around with the windows down, listening to music.
And with your sweetie pie.
It's fun. It's a blast. But when it's like a million degrees out, it's a little bit less fun.
Yeah. Are you just spending time together? Do you... divide and conquer? Do you have like specific skills that you each do?
This time we're going to divide and conquer. We didn't before, because before she was a lot worse off, like health wise.
Mm-hmm.
So it was just spending time together. It was just nice. Her job would be just like holding the food. This time I think we're going to divvy it up because it's going to be her actual account.
Mm-hmm.
So she's going to be doing the.
To avoid all the drama from. Your past.
Precisely.
Yeah.
So she's going to do the like running and then I'll do the driving. So she'll like, you know, go into the restaurant and pick up the food or whatever. And I'll just I'll drive her to wherever it is that the cat tells her to go.
You ever been tempted to take a little sip out of the drink?
I have not.
Ooh,
but
that took a long time to answer.
But only because I am very careful to keep myself nice and nourished. I get myself a nice
big
drink.
So that's the only reason you're not eating people's food.
That is the sole reason. No, it's because that's like zero tolerance. I didn't want to get banned.
Yeah.
But you would like to take a drink.
Well, of course he wants to.
Yeah.
Anyone would want to.
If you got a great big Baja Blast and it's a hot day, how could I resist?
Who else has a happy hour?
I forgot when mine was going to be.
And you guys didn't tell us when you eat dinner.
Oh. Living funerals. Have you heard of this, Dave?
Yes.
No.
So it's a growing trend, and more than half of young adults say they would have one. It's basically you plan and execute your own funeral while you're still alive, and you get to hear all the nice things people would say about you.
So it's a birthday party, kind of.
Except they're pretending that you're dead.
Didn't Huckleberry Finn do that?
Mm-hmm.
Didn't he have a funeral when he was still alive?
Faked their own deaths, and then they showed up to their own funeral.
And see, I think you have to fake your own death to get anything accurate. If someone knows that you're watching.
Yes. If someone knows you're just going to be like staring at them in a chair like, what are you going to say about me?
I don't like this at all.
No?
You're pretty needy if you need to do that.
Yeah.
Like, I need to hear all... Just ask people. Talk to your friends.
Yeah, just tell your friends, like, hey, what's the thing you like about me?
I'm down.
Me?
I could use some good stuff.
Dead? What would you miss the most?
Exactly.
Why do we need to pretend we're dead and do a whole fake-ass funeral to get people to say nice things about you?
I wouldn't do it because of my insecurity. I would be afraid that it would fall short of my expectations.
I could see how it would.
Like, everyone would be nice.
Right, but they know you're alive. Yeah. The people are always a little bit
no
more...
one's going to be like, no one, people might sob and weep at your funeral because of how sad they are to have lost you, but they're not going to sob and weep at your fake funeral.
They know you're back there.
You're right there. You're standing there. I can see you.
What if you have to lay in the casket still?
That's just, come on, man.
You ever have funeral fantasies at all? Like what people would say?
No.
Mm-mm.
Yeah, me either.
Well, we know. I mean, we know you do. That's well-trod ground. Yeah, we're aware. That.
Mine is always like Tom Ackerman goes up to Phoebe and takes her by the shoulders and barely holds it together. He's like, let me tell you about your dad. And then he's like, I just can't even talk. I'm so upset.
I don't even want a funeral. Just don't. You just have a party. Do something fun.
Done.
Yeah. Just go to a ball game. Go get pizza. Don't do the whole thing.
See, I need people like tearing their clothes.
Yeah.
Rending their garments.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. I'll be dead. Won't care.
You might care. You don't know. You could be a ghost.
Yeah, but if I'm a ghost, I'm probably gonna be like, yeah, it's pretty cool. I'm a ghost.
Yeah, this unlocks a whole new.
It's like, hey, the game's not over. I made it to level two.
Kevin will be trying to prank his own funeral. He'd be turning the lights on and off and mad that people don't notice.
That'd be so great.
I have a weird happy hour topic.
Okay.
Does anyone know who the actress Kim Novak is?
Yes.
Okay, she's from like the 50s.
Hitchcock movies?
Yes. Yeah. She was absolutely stunningly gorgeous. And I hate this new trend. A picture of 92-year-old Kim Novak, who's had some terrible work done to her face, which she admits, and it says, unrecognizable. You see this all the time.
Oh, mm-hmm. Like the clickbait articles?
It's almost
articles.
Always a woman.
Yeah.
They don't have to be 92. They can be 42.
Yeah.
Guess who this former 90s sitcom star is.
Yeah.
I just think that's so low.
It is. It's
like,
the worst.
Everyone ages. Everyone's going to change. Kim Novak was trying to make her face look better and it went bad. That happens. Like, get off her. God.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's really sad that that's become perfectly acceptable to speak on people's appearance that.
Like this person when they were 20 was super hot. Now they're 50 and they look 50.
Right.
Right.
Yeah, because they're 50.
Unrecognizable. Well, if you're looking for a 22-year-old girl.
Right. She doesn't look like she did 70 years ago. when you reading this weren't even alive.
Yeah, right.
So what are you so worried
Maybe
about?
Maybe that's what they mean is all the people clicking on it wouldn't know who she is anyway. They're too young.
Yeah. Unrecognizable to people who already didn't know who she was.
Also, you got a little backup today, Andrew. So my very good friend, our good friend, Julie Lally, Took me to breakfast today for my birthday. Hers is on the 10th, so we take each other every year to birthday breakfast. And she listens to every minute of the show, usually on podcast. And she's like, I have Andrew's back. I don't eat Cracker Barrel food, but I shop there often. She'll go to Cracker Barrel just for the gift shop.
Oh, I see it. It's a good gift shop as far as candies are concerned.
Mm-hmm.
I have something awful to say.
Uh-oh. Oh, yeah, because you went on Friday night,
right? I went on Friday to Woker Barrel.
Was it super wiggy?
It sucked.
No!
Was it traditional?
It was a not great experience. It was traditional. The menu has been wokeified. It has the new logo and everything
it's
on it.
Woke-ified.
They also wokeified the peg machine, the peg board.
How?
Which upset me a little bit because that was sacred to my brother and I growing up.
You bet.
It used to say, like, if you get three or more, you're a ignoramus. And now it says if you left three or more, that's okay. Just try again. Don't feel bad. It literally says, like, don't feel bad. Just keep trying.
That's terrible.
Yeah,
and I was like
that
that's terrible. Come on now.
If I can't get shamed over my ass browns.
If I can't get... If I'm getting shamed by anybody, I want it to be a folksy board game.
Herschel.
Yeah, I want it to be Herschel.
Forgive me. Did you say the food was good?
The food was okay. I mean, it was good. I didn't have huge problems with the food, but the bigger problem was that we waited a full hour for it.
Yeah,
which is, you know, and they just seem to be having like problems left and right.
Not
crowded at all.
Okay.
I don't know if it was a not enough people situation or what, which, you know, if that's how it is, it's hard to fault because, you know, nobody wants to work anymore. So, you know, it can be hard to fault them too much, but it was getting excessive to a certain point. Gift shop, still pretty good.
Mm-hmm.
Gift shop, still good.
What is there people would get if it's not the candy? Because the candy area is pretty cool.
They sell soda pops.
They sell actual clothes.
Right, but I mean, like, who's buying it?
I actually know someone from the Grafton area who has bought many, like, children's clothes from the Cracker Barrel.
Is it one of those places, like, you shop where you're like, ah, crap, forgot to get a gift and I'm on my way there?
Yeah, my parents have always bought stuff from there.
Okay.
And I got my dad's Christmas present last year from there.
Oh.
One of the things that I gave him was like a book of puzzles.
Pez dispenser.
And then also they have like decorations that people like. Like they had the Halloween decorations
now.
And,
the only place
fun.
To go to get a good Halloween sweatshirt, I'll tell you that.
Mm-hmm.
Cracker Barrel.
Have a pumpkin on it that says like...
Peekaboo.
Go get them pumpkin or whatever. Like, totally doesn't make any sense. But those are my favorite kind of clothes. Like, I always say I wish I could wear like the little kids shirts that have a soccer ball that just says like go or whatever. Like, I would wear that every day if they made that in a...
I've never felt more like a therapist.
If they made that in a 3XL.
Hold on, let me make this note for Christmas. Andrew wants a shirt that says
go. Find a shirt with a soccer ball that's just like... Playing.
I'm strong.
Yeah, a dinosaur on it that says like monster truck.
I think we can make this dream come true.
What I'm saying is I'd like to dress like a 3-year-old is what I'm saying.
Yeah.
Because they always look good.
And you're already on your way.
You never see a 3-year-old and you're like, that kid's dressed like crap.
He's making good points.
That kid's a total mess.
Oh,
what a slob.
Yeah, what a slob. What a loser.
It's really true.
Yeah, like, you go, look how cute he is in his little shirt.
Youth being wasted on the young, cuteness is wasted on the smallest of us.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah, they don't appreciate it.
No.
Oh, Andrew, there's a whole website with stuff like this.
That is unbelievable. Is it like adultbabies.com?
It's called losers.org. I don't know if I want to promote it.
Go ahead.
It's called myinnerbaby.com, and it's got clothing that like it's like grown-up onesies.
Oh, this is happening.
That's great.
No.
Andrew.
Myinnerbaby.com. Oh, I love it.
Onesie can feel pretty good.
I was afraid, like, I don't want to click on any of these. I'm afraid that it's...
You gonna buy it?
No, I'm just afraid that, like, people are going to be like, oh, somebody's trying to get an adult onesie.
Is that Jeffrey? Is this Toys R Us affiliate?
I don't think it is, but there is a giraffe there.
Okay.
Is that Jeffrey?
Yeah, I mean, he has been out of work. Hey, Jeffrey was out of work there for a while, right?
We should just go to break.
Okay, you don't want to do
it. Oh, no, I can do it.
Okay. My apologies.
It's no affront to Mosby Building Arts.
Give it to me easy. Let me try with pleasured hands.
Welcome back, DGS.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
Hi, I'm Dr. Mary Claire Haver, a board-certified OBGYN and menopause specialist. My new podcast, Unpaused, is the place for bold, unfiltered conversations about what it really takes for women to thrive in the second half of life. Every week, I sit down with medical experts, cultural icons, and powerhouse women to talk about what really matters, your health, your power, and your future. We're covering hormones, identity, finances, relationships, and so much more. New episodes drop every Tuesday. Listen to and follow Unpaused with me, Dr. Mary Claire Haver, available now wherever you get your podcasts.
So Phoebe is at that age now where everyone's turning 21, and she has a 21st birthday party for a friend of hers this weekend, and they do the shot, 21 shots and 21 pages, and so you'll make a page for Kevin Wheeler, and it's pictures of you and me. And remember when we first met, and I can't believe you're 21, blah, blah, blah. We need something like that for 61.
61 shots seems like a lot.
Yeah.
61 cookies?
Ah, all right. Now
see
we're
where
talking.
I'm going?
Yeah, now we're talking.
See where I'm going?
61
chips?
Chips, yeah.
I
tacos?
Like the chips.
Tacos?
Ooh, tacos would be kind of rough.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Maybe mini tacos.
Little mini tacos.
Little tiny tacos.
Little tiny burritos.
61 little tiny tacos.
Yeah, why should 21-year-olds have all the fun?
That's a lot of work to have that fun, though. Like, I got to put that stuff together. Is that a new thing for 21-year-olds, or is that a girl thing? Because, like, I see the TikToks a lot where it's, you know, a wife being like, are all husbands like this? And it's like, my buddy got engaged. Oh, yeah, where did he propose? I don't know. When are they getting married? I don't know. And it's like the guy always like, I didn't ask for details. I don't need to know the details because I feel like that identifies me pretty clearly. Mm-hmm. But is it because as a 21-year-old guy, I wasn't going to be like, hey, buddy, I made a scrapbook page for you.
I highly doubt young men are doing that. I think with the way social media has just kind of taken over, I think it's just fun to do that kind of stuff now because not only is it something nice that happens for you, you then get to post about it and get like a whole other wave of like attention and just like good birthday attention. So, you know, I think that's really like fueled this kind of thing. Because, I mean, when I turned 21, it was definitely not like a all your friends are going to make you a shot page. But I could see if it was going viral, like everybody starts doing it.
Robert says 61 spanks.
All right, wheels, get ready, you guys.
I mean, but like, are they going to leave some bruises?
Hope so.
That's the plan.
I mean, like, 61 of anything.
Kind of waste your time if it doesn't.
What's the point then?
I feel like once you're past 50, like, all right, that's just a bunch of bruises.
61 pokes.
Fly swatter swats.
Oh, don't bring that up. That's too close. That's too close to home.
Oh.
It's still too soon.
Yeah,
that's one of the things I took from mom's. It's still in the back of my truck.
Yeah. Oh, the old school.
Brought the old fly swatter.
Is it like a coat hanger handle? Yeah. The worst on that though is when you get the coat hanger side.
Oh, that's all we got.
Yeah, you get the pull back and the snap.
No, I was never hit with the plastic part.
Okay,
flies got it easy.
Yeah. Yeah,
everyone my generation had a yardstick broken on the back of their legs.
A yardstick? Man, yeah, I mean,
because yardsticks don't hurt that much.
We definitely used to have like battles with yardsticks, like we'd hit each other.
Our battles were mostly if anyone my age pictures the Hot Wheel track.
Yep. Yeah. Oh yeah. Yeah.
And then there's the purple thing you put in to connect them.
Yep.
The purple thing will hobble you.
Oh, dude.
So we would start out with no purple. And then
and you add it as you go.
If
yeah.
someone really got PO'd, it's like, okay.
Yeah,
now it's time.
Now it's time.
Now it's go time.
Yeah, those things hurt, man.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
Hi, I'm Dr. Mary Claire Haver, a board-certified OBGYN and menopause specialist. My new podcast, Unpaused, is the place for bold, unfiltered conversations about what it really takes for women to thrive in the second half of life. Every week, I sit down with medical experts, cultural icons, and powerhouse women to talk about what really matters: your health, your power, and your future. We're covering hormones, identity, finances, relationships, and so much more. New episodes drop every Tuesday. Listen to and follow Unpaused with me, Dr. Mary Claire Haver, available now wherever you get your podcasts.